This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
Improving access to safe, effective, and quality medicines and other health technologies is a critical public health priority and a fundamental requisite for universal health. National regulatory systems play a key part in a country's health system by overseeing the safety, quality, and efficacy of all health technologies, including pharmaceuticals, vaccines, blood and blood products, and medical devices. In April 2021, the Pan American Health Organization, or PAHO, issued their report titled Regulatory System Strengthening in the Americas: Lessons Learned from the National Regulatory Authorities of Regional Reference. The aim of this document is to better understand the regulatory landscape of the Americas, with an emphasis on the six National Regulatory Authorities of Reference from Latin America. These are ANMAT from Argentina, ANVISA from Brazil, ISP from Chile, INVIMA from Colombia, SECMED from Cuba, and COFEPRIS from Mexico. It presents data and analysis corresponding to essential regulatory functions, along with regulatory emergency responses to the COVID-19 pandemic by those regulators. I'm Camila Gomes, Regulatory Policy Lead for Latin America in Roche, and also Regional Editor for Latin America for the DIA Global Forum. Today, I'm honored to welcome Dr. Jarbas Barbosa, who since 2018 serves as Assistant Director at PAHO. Dr. Barbosa holds a PhD in public health, and he has been in several executive-level positions throughout his successful career, including Director President of the Brazilian Health Regulatory Agency, ANVISA. He joins us today to discuss and help us better understand this comprehensive and very relevant new PAHO report. Welcome, Dr. Barbosa.
Thank you. Thank you, Camila, and thank you to the DIA for this invitation.
I'd like to begin by asking you about the motivations for the publication of this report. What would PAHO hope will be the impact of publishing such a document?
The idea of the landscaping report came from the group of national regulatory authorities of regional reference in 2018. PAHO is the secretariat of the group, and together with these authorities, we wanted to better understand the regulatory landscape of the Americas. This was very important, and I want to take this opportunity to thank the support from the US FDA to make this report a reality. It employs a data-driven approach that includes available data from the regulatory authorities, assessments, and other relevant information. PAHO was asked to undertake the report because it is unique ability to work with these authorities in the region together and to analyze the information with a specific request to, first, to increase the understanding of national regulatory remedies and capacity in the Americas, raise the awareness and appreciation of regional regulatory challenges, identify emerging markets and the regulatory issues that will bring, and to highlight opportunities so evidence-based regulatory system is strengthened on lessons learned and best practices in the region.
This report presents a number of recommendations. Why should governments and national regulatory authorities take these recommendations into account, especially if they are not considered a national regulatory authority of regional reference?
Throughout the report, you see that the region has made decisive progress in strengthening its regulatory system. Together, the 8 reference authorities, the 6 that are part of the report, plus Canada and the US, they cover 82% of the population of the Americas, but this represents only 23% of the authorities in the region. Also, you note that due in part to their regulatory strengths and not despite them, these countries also have some of the most active pharmaceutical markets in the region. To have a strong regulatory system is a very important part to increase production capacity, to strengthen the access for medicines in every country. But it's also important to highlight that we have very important inequalities in the region. Several countries with increasing capacity but still not reaching the desired degree of functionality. We hope that this report will offer countries that want to strengthen their regulatory systems key to effective and sustainable development. The regional pharmaceutical market is growing, products are becoming more complex, and countries are spending more in providing access to these products. Yet the resources and capacities are not growing at the same pace in most regulatory authorities. And we want to ensure that our countries are able to oversee and enforce the regulations to ensure safety, effectiveness, and quality of all products. We believe that there are many examples in the report that can inspire approaches that can bring efficiencies to the regulatory activities and ensure proper implementation of regulatory functions.
Dr. Barbosa, that seems especially true, right? The role of important role of the regulators in this health emergency that we are going through right now. So this report, it contains a postscript with some information about the regulatory emergency response to COVID-19 pandemics here in the Americas. So could you provide us some examples of how regulatory efficiencies and maybe how regulatory flexibilities correlate with this improved health emergency responses by the governments here in our region?
This is an excellent and very important point, Camila. Since when I was director president of Anvisa, I was concerned about how the regulators can work better during a public health emergency of international concern. At that time, I was the chair of a subgroup that was established within ICRMA, and we started a very good dialogue with WHO in order to support the WHO and the national ministries of health when they are facing a public health emergency. The pandemic has highlighted the crucial role that the national regulatory authorities need to play in public health emergencies. Transparency on this decision is very important, and for example, all Latin American national regulatory authorities of reference have made available on their websites lists of the products needed for COVID-19, including medicines, personal protective equipment, and medical devices. Doing this provides an important focus to efforts. To help ensure availability of the listed essential products, Latin American national regulatory authorities have prioritized the evaluation and the approval process using flexible mechanisms, including implementation of emergency use authorizations and/or compassionate use authorizations. We had many examples in VIMA. For instance, if in Colombia, this agency extended the procedures for products considered vital but unavailable in order to include other products, particularly medical devices. This type of essential health product does not have to go through the regular marketing authorization process in case of emergency, provided there is already enough information on quality, safety, and efficacy, which usually comes from evaluation and approval elsewhere. Other Latin America national regulatory authorities have extended the renewals and validity of authorizations, certificates and licenses for products and/or manufacturers, importers and distributors. The majority of exemptions and abbreviated procedures were related to PPEs and diagnostic products. Measures included exemptions in compliance with labeling and insert of packages or with the verification of documents, as well as acceptance of incomplete applications, for instance, pending laboratory analysis documents and others. Other authorities like SECMED and COFEPRIS have prioritized import procedures as well. We also noted that the Latin America national regulatory authorities also increased the flexibility around the physical documentation requirements. They established virtual communication channels to expedite submissions, and for example, both ANMATI and INVIMA enable remote processing platforms, which allowed INVIMA to reduce procedures to import COVID-19 products from 6 days to 1 business day. So I do believe that all the regulatory authorities, they moved their procedures to ensure quality, to ensure safety and the efficacy of the products, but to have expedited processes to allow people to have more access to these very important products, medicines, PPEs, vaccines to cope with the pandemic.
This is indeed very great. And would PAHO expect some of those efficiencies and flexibilities to be carried after the health emergency finally comes to an end here in the region?
Yes, I do believe that the pandemic was a very important support to push many health systems to introduce new procedures. Telemedicine and teleconsulting, for instance, in many countries in Latin America, the technology was already available, but the real use of telemedicine and teleconsulting was very, very limited. I think that the regulatory process is living a similar time. I think that we needed to learn with this experience and to see what are the improvements to expedite the processes, to reduce all the bureaucratic burden that is not providing more quality to the products in order to have the real role of the National Health Regulatory Authority, that is to be enablers, to facilitate the access of the population to good quality products.
Well, this is a perfect segue to our next topic, which is the fact that many of the recommendations on the report touch on the use of regulatory reliance as a means to improving those regulatory efficiencies. So could you maybe comment on what is the role of reliance in regulatory systems strengthening in the Americas, and maybe which are the opportunities in the region to achieve a more optimal use of this resource?
Yes, this is also a very important point. PAHO has been a pioneer in the promotion of reliance for improving regulatory efficiencies in all regulatory systems, not just in those that need strengthening. Reliance is a critical efficiency for a regulatory system. It can be used across a variety of different functions, including market authorization, inspections, and pharmacovigilance. It helps to reduce workload so that the resources can be prioritized elsewhere and is used by regulatory systems, large and small. However, there are challenges with implementation, such as sovereignty concerns, lack of sustained high-level political commitment to develop enabling legal and policy frameworks, and even competitiveness. In 2018, PANDRA, the regional regulatory network in Latin America and the Caribbean, that PAHO is the secretariat, adopted a series of principles that should guide the adoption of reliance measures among the countries in Latin America and the Caribbean. We strongly believe that if these principles are followed, the national regulatory authorities can adopt and adapt regulatory reliance in a manner that fits their needs and priorities.
What should then the national regulatory authorities of regional reference do to support here in our region increased reliance on their own regulatory processes by other countries here in the Americas, and should I say also outside the Americas?
Yes, we do believe that one important role of the national regulatory authorities of reference is exactly to share their best practices to support the less developed regulatory systems that we have in Latin America and the Caribbean. Yes, we agree and we believe and we encourage them to share their best practices to support the less developed countries in order to achieve a more unified procedures, to achieve more reliance, to achieve more convergence of regulatory frameworks so we can move together all the countries in Latin America and the Caribbean.
So I must say, I have read the report in its entirety. It's very interesting. And a huge number of positive outcomes are captured in this report. And this sets a very positive tone, right, for the expectations towards the level of regulatory maturity and the growing level of regulatory maturity here for our region. So if we look into the future, how do you see that the region of the Americas will evolve in the next 10 years? And what would be the ambition of PAHO for a regulatory system here in the Americas?
Indeed, the report has shown that many important improvements have been made in Latin America and the Caribbean during these years. But it's important also to highlight that while the region's regulatory capacity has improved considerably over the past decade, further efforts are needed yet. Since strengthening regulatory systems take time and commitment, it must be adopted as a state policy and be sustainable over time. You cannot change when a government changes, when the director of a regulatory authority changes. This needs to be a medium and long time project that will serve the society and the country, not a specific government. National regulatory authorities must adopt continuous improvement plans to maintain their condition and meet the increasing demands of the most complex health technologies and the globalized supply chains. We aim at having all our regulatory authorities reaching the maturity level 3 of the new GBT, either by themselves or by working a sub-regional mechanism, such as the Caribbean regulatory system.
This is an awesome expectation, right? Dr. Barbosa, you mentioned that PAHO is a pioneer organization, right? When it comes, for instance, to the reliance concept note that was approved by the PANDRA. And you mentioned that PAHO is also the secretariat for the Pan-American Network for Drug Regulatory Harmonization, the PANDRA. So this regional initiative was created back in the 90s. To strengthen the regulatory functions and systems of the countries of the region, and also to promote the cooperation and information sharing among regulators and other stakeholders here in the Americas, which is a significant task. So taking into consideration what you just mentioned of bringing all the regulatory systems to a GBT maturity level 3 here in the region in the near future, what do you see are the priority focus areas for the PANDRA network when it comes to regulatory system strengthening?
One key area is standardized reporting. We are supporting the countries. We need to harmonize the regulatory oversight. Authorities need to continue efforts toward common regulatory approaches. This report was not easy to compile. Some of the questions that we thought were straightforward got the answers that were hard to compare. We had trouble comparing apples to apples. So one action will be to agree on a few, to start, performance indicators that can be reported in a standardized manner and periodically. We are presenting a proposal to PANDRA along these lines. Regarding specific areas, I do believe that post-marketing surveillance and the PV remain fragile and need some rethinking. We need to ensure that the efforts in the post-market are increased. Similarly, the treatment and authorization of API is of concern. The region is very dependent on imported API, and we have observed the weakness in the traceability and quality assurance of some products. And we will continue to focus on what we believe is a critical priority, those authorities with the weaker capacities, those scoring the lower third of regulatory capacities.
Great. And now that we have also mentioned a little bit of collaboration via PANDRA, right? PANDRA is a collaboration that goes beyond what is only the regulatory authorities. What would you say is the contribution that other stakeholders might give to strengthening regulatory systems in the Americas, and how can they support PAHO? For instance, what would be the role of industry or even the role of patients in this context?
I do believe that many other stakeholders have a very important role. The industry, for instance, can promote more transparency to improve efficiencies. Allowing the sharing of full assessment reports among regulatory authorities is sometimes opposed by industry with some legal and other arguments. We all agree that reliance can bring benefits to all, but we need to accept that it's not possible without transparency. Users and patients have a major role too in the improvements. Improving awareness among civil society of the risk of substandard and falsified products, internet sales risks, and getting citizens to denounce these practices and help stop them. One area of particular concern for us is on antibiotic resistance and the widespread practice in the region of sales of antibiotics without prescription. This is extremely dangerous for the patients and for the generation of resistance. The public can play a major role by not only using antibiotics that have been prescribed by a licensed professional and understand that in many instances, antibiotics are not required and should not be used. So, like other areas of the health system, regulatory systems are a construction of the effort of all stakeholders. The national regulatory authorities needed to be trusted by the society at large. Thus, protecting the national regulatory authorities from political influence and shifts is very important. We need to ensure that these regulators are technically independent and free to act based on the best evidence available, free of conflict of interest and following the latest regulatory science. The pandemic has impacted the national regulatory authorities in some negative ways, many political pressures. So I think that this is also a moment to highlight and to reaffirm our belief that we do need in the region to strengthen the national regulatory capacity in every country in this region. We have seen some of their decision overrided by the political powers, and this is not good for the region, this is not good for the population, because if a national regulatory authority is suffering and adapting their decisions due to political pressure, the population cannot really rely in this decision. So it's very important to support the independence and the quality of the work of the regulatory authorities in the region. We need to see how we can prevent this from happening again. We know that all public health emergency is always a very stressful situation with not only public health impacts, but the economic, social, and political too. But we have also some good lessons learned from this pandemic, how the authorities could keep their good work and keep their ability to make assessments based on science, based on only technical information. And we need to recognize this effort and to keep them moving on.
This is such a powerful message. Thank you so much, Fred. Dr. Barbosa, it was an honor and a privilege to host you today for this interview. Thank you for bringing so many relevant points for our consideration, right? And on behalf of the Global Forum Board of Editors and our readers, I'd like to express our admiration for the outstanding work of PAHO in support to the population of the Americas during this health emergency. And we are especially glad that you could take some time from your very busy schedule to be with us today. I could only invite all our readers and listeners to access the report and to read it on its entirety. It's very, very important and gives us a lot of points for reflection and for action in the future. Thank you so much, Dr. Barbosa.
Thank you, Camila, and thank you, the DIA. It's a pleasure to share this report. It will be very important to all stakeholders to read the report, to make their comments in order to improve our capacity to continue to support our countries in Latin America and in the Caribbean. Thank you.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.